Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 1st on the West Coast, and now December the 2nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Lots to talk about, but before we get into anything, I want to also welcome those listening around the world, especially any members of our U.S. military listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and anyone listening on blogtalkradio.com on the internet. There is so much news to report, and certainly we're not hearing any of this stuff on mainstream, so what I thought I would do right now is... I'm hearing some noise in the background here. I don't know where that's coming from. What we're going to be listening to, first of all, is a recording of an event that occurred at a book signing by Mr. Global Warming, Al Gore. He was confronted by members of We Are Change Chicago. And at this book signing, he was confronted. And I think... my listeners deserve to hear this, so I'm going to play it for you right now. Hopefully it's going to start playing here. We're waiting for it.
Good for you, sir. Did you know that fluorescent light bulbs last 10 times longer than regular ones?
Yep, and they only use one quarter of the power. But if we're going to solve the climate crisis, we've got to change more than the light bulbs and the windows. We've got to change the laws and the policies through collective political action on a large scale. Kenneth, encourage your lawmakers to take action and recycle everything, including jokes.
Sorry, sir, what?
Quiet. A whale is in trouble. I have to go. Congressman, you began by denying that there is a consensus on the science. There is a consensus on the science.
You must have been listening to our testimony that we've had for the last few days with dozens of experts that have come in who have given completely different views.
Well, there are...
So I would encourage you to go back and look at the testimony that this committee's heard.
There are people who still believe that the moon landing was staged on a movie lot in Arizona.
This guy's preaching, of course. We'll see that John Coleman, he won't debate anybody. The IPCC isn't really a bunch of scientists, a bunch of UN globalists. Are you guys looking into this stuff? Are you aware that he won't debate? Are you guys allowed to cover things like this or not? Would your bosses let you tell the real story about real Americans out here?
President Al Gore was in Chicago today to sign copies of his new book, Our Choice. There was a long line of supporters at the Borders Bookstore on State Street. Our Choice is a follow-up to Gore's Academy Award-winning documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. Gore has championed environmental issues for many years. His book is described as a call to action that answers many of the questions posed by the film. Gore was a co-recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007 for his work on climate change.
Sir, can you comment on the emails and documents that were revealed that were hacked on ClimateGate? ClimateGate said that the research is a fraud and it's wrong. Can you give a comment? Can you give me a comment, sir? Good fraud.
Yo, come back. You're on order. Eugenics operation. Don't touch me. This is a eugenics operation.
Who's that? Right around.
What they're trying to sue Al Gore. Look it up. It's a eugenics program. It's a new world order. He's lying to all of us. He's lying to us before. Wake up, people. Wake up. Wake up. This is a new world order.
Can I give you that, Mr. Gore?
science that shows that 31,000 scientists are speaking out against your eugenics chromosome agenda, sir. The new world order will fail, and we realize that this is against our sovereignty. I have a First Amendment right. You do not need to assault me, sir. I am leaving. I am leaving. You do not need to assault me, sir. I have a First Amendment right.
Yeah.
This man wants to create a centralized global government. 31,000 scientists. That man is. This is Nazi fascism.
Who are you?
Any comments on ClimateGate? The emails that prove it's a scam, it's a farce. Global warming is a joke. Any comment? Comment on ClimateGate? ClimateGate, First Amendment rights here. ClimateGate. ClimateGate. Research ClimateGate. This guy's a fraud. It's a scam. They are trying to institute a global government through a carbon tax. This guy's working on a carbon tax. That's all it is. It's global government. There are 30,000 scientists trying to sue this guy. John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel, is suing this bum. You're all in line for this bum. It's a global government. Get your hands off me. First Amendment rights. Get your hands off me.
Talk about carbon polluters. You talk about them. It's my understanding that back in 1997, when you were vice president, Enron's CEO, Ken Lay, was involved in discussions with you at the White House about helping develop this type of policy, this trading scheme. And is that accurate? Is it inaccurate? It's been recorded.
I don't know.
In the video, they're burning Al Gore's book in a fireplace. In searching for a new element to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention.
If you believe that the reason I have been working on this issue for 30 years is because of greed, you don't know me.
Woo! Thank you, Al. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, Al.
All right.
Can you guys stay back over here, please?
That video and the audio which you heard on the radio was produced by We Are Change Chicago. You have to go to YouTube and check that out. You probably just Google Al Gore and We Are Change Chicago and you'll find that video. I've got more to share, but first I want to bring on tonight's guest. This is a very pertinent document that was released by a former member of the U.S. Army and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is retired, and it's a document that he released, on the 12th of March, 2001. And he faxed it to some people the next day, or March the 13th, 2001, at 12:07 p.m., I presume that is. And doesn't say, but we'd have to guess. It's a very revealing document about a topic that we discuss very often on Evident Footprints. And before we do that, I want to bring one of the guests that actually has talked about this quite a bit. And he is a environmental scientist, a historian, an herbalist, and even a musician, believe it or not. He's got a background in chemistry, from some years ago, working professionally with a Fortune 500 company, and his name is Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. Good morning. Great to be back.
It's been a while, I know. So we missed you here. Sometimes I wish we could get three or four guests on one show and mull a lot of things over, but then again, we'd be doing those three-hour shows like I did the first 6 months I was on the air.
Yeah, that would be tough on you, Don, this time of night for you on the East Coast, doing that often.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got used to it after a while, but it was taxing, I have to say.
Sure.
First, I want to get your reaction to what you heard there. You've been following this global warming thing, and finally somebody's actually confronting, you know, the perpetrators of this fraud. Any thoughts you have on...
Sure, plenty.
What you heard there?
Well, I thought it was an excellent clip. Thank you to the people that provided that for your effort, the courage. Hopefully, a lot of people will have a chance to review that, because it clearly shows that this guy, Al Gore, is a phony and a fraud and a traitor to the core. And the fool with his audacity to say, well, if you think I'm in this for the money... Listen, pal, it's more than the money.
It's the new world order.
That's right. That's right.
And Satanism as well, of course. They're doing this for Satan.
Which is, it's all part of their new world order. That's exactly right, Don.
You know,
and
it's no accident that the X that they put in the skies happens to stand for Satan either, is it?
Well, there's all kinds of patterns that they're putting up in the sky for sure, but there's no getting around that these... at the core, they're Luciferian devil worshippers. And, you know, you've covered that many times. I know I've discussed it many times with you. And so this guy, like the rest of them, can't stand on his own two feet. Everything has to be presented and prepackaged and prefabricated with no opposition that can really critique his interview or anything. The questions in the interviews are always softballs and lovey-dovey. And so it's great to see him on the spot, like the rest of them. When they're confronted, they can't speak. They don't know what to say, because they're just front men, actors on a stage, overpaid prostitutes for this New World Order agenda.
Yeah, I agree. Now, you couldn't see in the video, but when the guy was screaming and hollering, of course, he was being... I would say assaulted. It was assault. He does have freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And it was a Secret Service agent who was guarding Gore. Mm-hmm. What I found interesting is when he ushered the guy out, and he took him all the way out the building, down the escalator and out the building, out near the parking garage, and that's where you heard the yelling at the end. The guy was standing out in the parking garage with a group of people. But Gore was left unguarded, from what you could tell, through that whole time. You know, it's amazing that he wasn't perspiring from the global warming, even.
Well, that's because, well, you know what's really great, Don, and I love this. There's always divine activity. Now, they're out to sell us on this global warming, and they could have pulled it off if they did it 10 years ago, or up till at least the last 3 years ago in the East Coast. 4 years ago, maybe, when we were seeing a hot trend all year round. But all of a sudden, when they come out with their propaganda line to get us all enslaved so we can't afford any energy resources that they make available to us, and that'll shut us down, we won't be productive, we won't even be able to have our lights on in our house as much as we want to if these commies get away with this scam. And so what's great is that when they're coming out with this prepackaged global warming line, all of a sudden Mother Nature doesn't cooperate. It's getting cooler. So people can't deny. They can't deny that, what global warming? This was the coolest summer we had. And so that's great, and I love that, because it's making them look like fools, and that I just love that. And also with this clown Al Gore, traitor that he is, and commie to the core, let's not forget, when he was, unfortunately, our vice president, there's a photograph of him. It was a book called Year of the Rat. And there's a photograph of him inspecting, very sternly, the elite communist Chinese troops, and he's inspecting them very sternly. And that photograph tells you everything.
You reminded me of something that occurred many years ago in Columbus, Ohio. The mayor got caught trying to pick up a hooker in the middle of the night. I forget his name. It's not really important. But when he was arrested for his actions, and the hooker was arrested, he claimed that he was out inspecting the city. So,
I guess he's doing a thorough inspection, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So
checking everybody individually.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the excuse is. It's just an excuse. But certainly, you know, you have to ask yourself the significance of that formality. Certainly, you know,
that's right.
We have been saying that those in Congress, those in the Senate, those who have held public office, and the support staff that allow these things to occur are all committing treason. There's no doubt about it. And I want to share this letter from Alexander Al B. Cuppet, if I may. I have to read it. That's the only way I can get this information out to the audience. But it's going to give us something to talk about tonight. And we
sure, Al Cuppet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we hadn't planned on anything. This is sent to General John P. Jumper, Commander, Air Combat Command, ACC. Info has the names General Shelton, Chairman, JCS, General Shinseki, or Shinsekel. It's hard to say because this font is not really clear, because it was from a fax, ACOS, General Ryan, AFCOS, Admiral Clark, CNO, General Jones, CMC, Admiral Blair, SINPAC, Admiral Fargo, SINPAC FLT, Senators Allen, Shelby, Miller, and Warner. I guess that's Mr. X, Elizabeth Taylor's husband. Congressman Barr, Paul Bartlett, Cantor, Good, and Burton, Commonwealth Federal and Military Police Officers. Subject, Treaty on Open Skies, or TOS, aircraft executing operational biochemical missions against the United States. Now, keep in mind, again, I'm going to repeat, this was written March 12, 2001. Sir, I have been informed by a freelance reporter out of Munich that she recently interviewed two Russian officers who admitted they had been flying TOS missions in the United States. This report was the final confirmation required to dispatch this letter to the above principals. Sir, to prove I know whereof I speak, be advised, I served the United States 31 years, 19 of which were joint service. Moreover, I served 2 years as an Air Staff Action Officer in XOKCR/SIT, as well as a communications action officer, evaluator for 6 years on the joint staff, and then C3SEO and J7EAD. I received the Secretary of Defense Civilian Service Medal, and during my service career, the Purple Heart, Bronze Star, et al., on 15-month combat tour, being stationed 14 years overseas and serving in over 25 countries. In the event you aren't familiar with TOS particulars, be advised that Presidents Bush and Clinton put these abominable counter-U.S. sovereignty TOS agreements in place, legally or otherwise, ostensibly to ensure our compliance with START agreements. Such pretenses were nothing but a public consumption conspiracy, as is the TOS compliance, modified EC 135 Squadron, based at Offutt Air Force Base. The clandestine purpose of the TOS, rather than to certify U.S. treaty compliance at U.S. military bases, was to allow United Nations foreign pilots to overfly without restrictions or hindrance the American populace operating in several modes, which I will detail below. First off, I have prima facie evidence from all sources that Soviet UN pilots in foreign planes and choppers are routinely flying civil radar spoofer transponder equipped, flagrantly illegal low-level infrared magnetometer radar sweeps, and yes, black operation sorties against private citizens, thus searching for stored weapons, equipment, food, etc. This includes sensor-equipped Soviet HIP Mi-17 choppers over legal federal firearms licensed businesses. I saw one myself. This despicable United Nations ordered campaign is bad enough. However, what follows is far worse. For at least 8 years, TOS aircraft choppers have been conducting pernicious biochemical warfare operations all over the USA. I maintain hundreds of reports, many first person, as do other military retirees, including retired flag officers, of numerous attacks on our population over both cities and rural areas. People are being surreptitiously sickened and, yes, killed as a result of these spraying operations. The leftist U.S. press is purposely covering the truth, and the U.S. military, the only superpower, can do nothing. But, sir, while I have breath, I shall write. On 29th January 2001, these carpet-spraying operations finally came to Central Virginia. Investigation reveals that tanker-configured aircraft are now spraying chemtrails of mycoplasma fungi spores in most areas of the USA. I'm a licensed pilot, and I have seen, endured various aerial sorties myself for over 7 years. These operational sorties also feature, among other pathogens, hepatitis, upper respiratory irritants, ad nauseum, etc. If you didn't know about this, you do now. Moreover, if you don't dispatch an armed F-15 or two out of Langley ACC to splash a few of these flying murderers, you'll never qualify for the Admiral Mike Borda trophy. Borda knew these UN operations were going on and was planning to do something, but alas, died. Not by suicide, but with three bullets in his body. If the action info addresses above sit by and do nothing, they're no more honorable than the traitorous Illuminist leaders who allowed these pernicious UN Soviet terrorists, troops, cops, pilots into this country. In by the hundreds of thousands, no less. Gentlemen, when the bioagent is anthrax, it'll be too late. Very respectfully, with warm regards, Al Cuppet. And then he goes on to say, P.S., Admiral Mike Borda gave his life for the USA. How many flag officers will give their country for their lives? You need to make a decision soon or will not escape this expedition against us. Also, I tried to keep this to a one-page staff paper. I could have written you 50 pages. Please review the attached USA event paper also. Now, I don't have a copy of that, but quite a document, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah, Don, when you first mentioned Al Tuppett, I thought it was something current, and I was going to say, boy, I haven't heard from Al in a long time. And, yep, great man, great patriot. I miss hearing him on the shows. And that covers it all. And let's recall, at the time frame when old man Bush began the so-called treaties with the open skies over our country, and there was an incident over in New Mexico. The headlines were German jets collide over the skies in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So as they reported it, of course, they phrased it so that the average American, when they read that or heard that, would think, oh, what a shame, you know, commercial planes, German commercial planes. And, of course, they weren't. They were military planes maneuvering over New Mexico, which is high treason. And I believe that came about actually just at the first term of Slick Willie, Commie Clinton's administration, when that incident occurred.
Yeah, well, by the date that Cuppet gave in this document, and he's saying 7 years, the spraying would have begun in 1994. And I've talked to people, I've had people call in this show saying that they first began seeing spraying over Colorado in 1995.
I began seeing spraying over our skies by 96, 97 for sure. It became obvious around that time frame, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't hit the Midwest until September 12th, 2001. That's when they began spraying the Midwest.
Hmm.
So
yeah, it's blatant, no question about it. And sure, you know, we've got nothing but high treason occurring in our nation's capital.
Yes. Now, without the aid of this document, Michael, we have talked about these ingredients and the diseases that are being sprayed in these chemtrails. Without the benefit of this document, we have been accurately reporting, either through intuition or investigation.
And observation.
And observation and analysis
sure.
of portions that people have caught or gathered up, webbed on the roof of their house or on their car antennas sometimes.
Just look at all the photographs of all the chemtrail activity.
Yes.
You know, from people just taking snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, around here, back in the early 2000s when I was showing the photographs taken just above my home over a span of time, and you know, my own family, my brothers, all thinking that for the longest time, you know, this guy, he's out there, chemtrails and all that. So one day at a get-together, I started showing them these photographs, and they all just, you know, couldn't deny as they looked at all the photographs. Clear blue sky. All of a sudden, these high lines, plumes, fine lines, high altitude in the sky, and then they descend, they get wider, they merge, and then they obstruct the blue sky and the sun. And next thing you know, it's very cloudy with a grayish, milky kind of color into the sky, which is gloomy. And nobody could deny what their eyes were seeing. So gradually, just from those physical observations, people have to, they can't deny what their eyes are seeing.
No, they can't. They can't. And you know, they're, Ken Adachi has done such incredible work on this from a metaphysical standpoint as well as a factual standpoint. And he's not the only one. Cliff Carnicom has done quite a bit of research and analyzation of all the different types of chemtrails. We're now getting pictures from our listening audience, even up in Canada. I've got some pictures that I've yet to post of some black chemtrails. These are different ones now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a Dr. Mike Castle on the show very recently. He's going to be on next week, in fact. We're going to be talking, or is it in 2 weeks? No, it's either next week or in 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about this very issue again because it's still going on, and we have methods to get rid of them. We're seeing sylph activity. You know, prayer and summoning of the sylphs is definitely doing something. We've gotten confirmation on a show on July 28th, General Jeremiah told us that the United Galactic Federation was neutralizing these, and we were getting reports from all over the planet that they have been regularly neutralized. They've seen fewer chemtrails. And
yeah,
I have to say, even though they're spraying, with the exception of August 25th, when I reported an Earth-space incident that was occurring over the state of Ohio and over parts of Canada in the Ontario region of Canada and all over Lake Erie, you know, we determined that there's an underground base in under Lake Erie, and these jets were sorting out of there. You couldn't count them all. I counted 68 jets before I stopped seeing them flying around.
Well, it's interesting. Now, I noticed from here that they're most of the time, at least 90% of the time, I would say from my observations, they're always emanating from the north, and generally northeast, for the most part, is how they appear to be approaching us here. And so every time, I pointed that out many times, excuse me, to people, and it's always great when some people get back to you and say, yeah, Mike, just like you said, every 15 minutes, there's another one coming from the same direction, flying in close proximity to the previous trail, depositing another one, then they gradually drop, and they expand and merge and form these cloud-like substances. And so, yes, Don, Lake Erie, it's interesting because that's definitely north of here, where I am, and that fits the pattern. I remember one time studying them with binoculars, the high-altitude jets that were depositing one day, and I noticed a red-tipped nose on the jets. So I ran that by a good friend of mine, that ex-Navy, and he said, that's Russian. So there you have the UN, you know, behind this activity here.
Yeah, my intuition told me that, and in fact, I've been saying that for the past couple of years. That this is, it has to be a UN program because it's occurring all over the world.
That's right.
Okay. So who's financing it then, you know?
U.S. taxpayer, baby.
Yeah. We're financing it and who's pulling the strings? Well, you've got to go into the, you know, the big banking people and
Rockefeller,
those that you. Yeah. So right away it points to the Rockefellers again.
Hello.
Okay. And I'm sure the Rothschilds are just as deeply involved in the leads in China and on and on, you know, throughout all the 13 Illuminati families.
That's right.
And Al Cuppet didn't hesitate to pinpoint the Illuminists, did he?
I miss Al. Al is, I always admired and respected this guy, and he was great source of information. And God bless him. I hope he's doing well. I haven't heard him on the air in quite a while.
Well, you know, this document recently surfaced. I was sent a copy, and I thought, what a great time to share that with the audience, because we have talked about this topic. Now, just shifting gears slightly, I don't know if you had a chance to read my latest literary work.
Yes, I have done.
The article about Eisenhower's birth certificate dilemma in the state of Texas. When he was running for the presidency. This was quashed. There's no doubt about it. In fact, the newspaper article is a rather foolish story in and of itself, that things would have transpired as they're described in the article. But the main point of the article is that it alludes to the fact that there wasn't a birth certificate registered in the town where they were claiming he was born, Denison, Texas. And so Denison, Texas, though it's officially proclaimed to be the birthplace of Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was born David Dwight Eisenhower, didn't have a birth certificate to prove his name at West Point, where he changed it to Dwight D. Eisenhower. You know, how do they get away with this? That's the thing.
Well, it must have been, you know, it more than likely, it's just they're manipulating the history and events of people they want to prop up to serve their purposes of this globalism. And so over time they perfect these cunning, illusions of lies and deceit and sell it like it's fact and true history.
Yeah.
And they perfected it to such a point that, You know, you know, with Eisenhower, it's all very interesting, Don. But again, it's curious with him that he did, at the end of his administration, warn the American people of this military-industrial complex, and that's interesting that he did do that. Now,
yeah, while throwing in the word democracy, by the way.
Yep, and and so, you know, nonetheless, I think JFK may have done that too. I'm not sure if he ever referred to us as a democracy, but it's just interesting why he would go through the trouble of even saying anything. And I'm also wondering if he was knighted by the Queen of England, like the rest of these traitors, Bush and...
Oh, there! I have no doubt of that.
Yeah, more than likely, right?
I have
sure.
no doubt. Now, what, there's another interesting parallel if you compare him to the long-legged Mac Daddy.
Well, that's what I was getting to, because now...
In a sense, I don't think most Americans knew he was the president of Columbia University.
Mm-hmm.
And although his biographies describe it as an on-and-off thing, sort of he takes a vacation from it, who ran the university when he wasn't there? Was it David Rockefeller or, you know?
Well, it's always the money men behind all the big institutions because they're the guys that finance them all.
But I found a list of the presidents of the university, and the guy seemed to know what he was talking about. And this is a new development, which is going to be expanded upon, amongst other facts that I've uncovered. This was all in one day's research, by the way. No, I'm not exaggerating. I can show when I got the email with the article. And by the end of the day, I had posted this article, but everybody was sleeping then, so nobody knew about it. And it took another half a day for the word to get around. But there have been well over 17,000 hits on my website since this article came out. Actually, 17,500 and some odd number. So 538, to be exact.
Yeah, that's super, Don. That's great. But what I gather out of that essentially is that these people behind the scenes that control and manipulate all governments and all events, the Rockefeller, Rothschild, Bankster cabal, they were honing this ability of faking out Americans as well as people around the world, but faking out Americans into believing that the presidential candidates were so red, white, and blue to the core. And yet, you know, they're not. They're not even American-born.
Yeah.
And they perfected it to such a point that they bring along this guy, Barry Sotoro, and they sold this guy to the Americans like nobody else ever. And so they, you know, this is a craft of theirs that they perfected, and they've demonstrated that very clearly by this most recent president we have.
Yeah. Well, the point I was going to make about this list I found of all the historical presidents of Columbia University, out of all of those, Eisenhower is listed as having been the president of the university from 1948 through 1953. Okay, so even while he was the supreme Allied commander of NATO, he was the president of Columbia University. Seems to be a conflict of interest of sorts in that, but
I don't know.
A Rockefeller, of course. Okay,
sure. I
but
mean,
the list lists his birthplace as Kansas.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, the contradictions with his own past.
Yeah,
I mean, clearly something's wrong here with this guy's background.
Now, not only did he not have a birth certificate in Grayson County, and the seat. The county seat is in the town of Sherman, and Denison is in Grayson County also, where they're saying he's born. In fact, they picked out this nice little house, decorated it, and of course, they're not telling you, well, this is, you're seeing the family living there. In fact, historical accounts from the East Texas Historical Society have the family leaving 6 months after he's born. But his official website, and his historical website and the museum claim that he came back to or went back to Kansas with the family, who was originally from Kansas, a year and a half later. Now, how do you account for a year's difference in that time frame? This is the director of the East Texas Historical Society, a PhD, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And I often say PhD can stand for piled higher and deeper.
Usually does.
Okay. Not always, but in this case...
Usually does.
In this case, it may very well. Now, within 5 minutes of getting this article, I had discovered that the birthplace declared by Eisenhower to the INS on September 27th, 1924, was Tyler, Texas, on U.S. 69 South, leaving Denison and driving straight down U.S. 69 all the way to Tyler, Texas, took back then about 3.5 hours. It was a 130-mile trip. We're not talking about a neighboring town or a suburb of a larger city.
You know, Don, there's contradictions, and clearly it proves that the media was already under the control of these elite, keeping the Americans in the dark, because such topics were never thoroughly investigated and reported upon mm-hmm. to the American people. It's all buried, and so clearly, our media, everything, nothing is what it seems to be, and the wool has been pulled over the Americans' eyes very elaborately, and God willing, the Americans are going to realize it, you know, sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting, and I just want to point this out because there's probably some people in the military listening, and you know, Eisenhower was touted to be this hero, and I ask, what heroic act made him a hero? Was it the fact that he was the commanding officer of the supreme officer of the forces in Europe? I mean, that's usually the guy that gets all the credit. Most people, most historians would say that Patton was the real hero. George
Patton. Well, he was, of course.
And in fact, Patton couldn't stand Eisenhower, and I'm seeing why now. I'm mm-hmm. certainly seeing why.
Sure, Patton was the real general that helped us win the war in the European theater. And Patton was the real American that should have been our president after the war. That's why they killed him.
Yeah.
He didn't accidentally die.
See, this scandal, Michael, begs the question, why lie about where you're from? Why?
Why lie about anything?
Yeah,
you only lie when you have something to hide.
Yes, obviously, we have three different places named as his birthplace. Okay,
as bad as this clown we got now, Barry Sotoro.
Oh yeah, exactly. And as far as I'm concerned, the Hegelian dialectic is between Denison and Tyler, Texas. You might as well throw Kansas in there, because you know he wasn't born in Kansas. Why would he say Tyler, Texas? And
why can't he get his name straight?
Yeah. Why would they? And now, this was in 1924. It's written down. Okay? The IMS agent didn't make that up. He lied about his age as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A person does not reach an age higher than the one of their most recent birthday. Until their next birthday comes along. It was several weeks before his 34th birthday, but he stated he was 34. I said to my listening audience last night, and I'll repeat it, I turned 58 last Friday. Last Thursday, I was 57. Okay? And anyone else that had a birthday on Friday was a year, you know, younger until they turned the next year.
You can't... There's no way, no matter how much anyone could want to try, you can't debate natural chronology of time.
Yes. Now there was another...
No argument there.
They had their two-year-old son with them, okay? Who in their right mind would take a child to a war zone unless the child was there? Okay, there wasn't a war going on in 24, but you're talking about a military base. Who in their right mind would take a child to such a place? Unless the baby was born there. Okay?
Sure.
Which would have had to have been the case. And that they arrived in the United States in September 27th, 1924. When asked where the son was born, they said Henan, Colorado. H-E-N-N-E-N, Colorado. There is no such place in Colorado. But examining the list very carefully, I noticed on lines 18 and 19...
How can you make a blunder like that?
The two people were named Henan.
Uh-huh.
What are the odds of Henan, Colorado, and the Henan family being on the ship
mm-hmm.
at the same time? You know?
Yep.
So it was a fib. They they were trying to substantiate or legitimize the American the American-born son who was not born in America. It was another lie. So I caught at least three lies there. Now, they didn't give me much more to look at, but they had him listed as a U.S. citizen, and it didn't say naturalized, and it didn't give a date when that occurred. So as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't a U.S. citizen. That was the fourth lie. And time will tell. We'll find out. But I suspect that he was German, from Germany, and they changed the spelling of the name to sort of mask the German heritage. But he's got some other heritage in there, too. He's got some Jewish blood in there, and according to some historical work that others have already done before I looked at this, he's got some black blood in him, too. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but these people, in presenting their genealogies, certainly leave out certain elements. As a matter of masking what might become inconvenient.
Well, the only thing that really matters to us is if he's not legitimately natural-born American, therefore he doesn't even qualify to be our president, and it looks like they pulled that one off even back then on us.
Yes.
And
think of all the laws that were created, okay, by Eisenhower, which have to be null and void. Just like the long-legged back daddy today.
Well, all laws passed by Congress, Don, have to be null and void if they contradict the constitutional laws. They're automatically null and void.
Yes, and certainly someone else had to know this, you see. But this story that was in the article that an attorney, a law firm from New York, wrote a letter. They don't name the law firm, so you can't research it. And they wrote and they asked if there was a birth certificate filed there in the county, and they wrote back and said no. And then this guy, Lonnie F. Roberts, that's the guy's name, Lonnie Roberts, who happened to be a private in the U.S. Army at one time, okay? This guy takes it upon himself to get a birth certificate by sending a formal legal document to Arthur B. Eisenhower up in St. Louis or Kansas City. Kansas City, I think it was. And then and then he takes that information and he sends it to Mamie Eisenhower and asks Mamie to fill it in, have Ike fill it in, and then send it back. And then they got the judge to issue this birth certificate. Now, the judge was told to issue the birth certificate.
Of course.
Let's not kid each other.
He was paid.
He clipped the newspaper article and put it in a scrapbook, and that's how we got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, to me, that was a hero. That judge was a hero, just by putting it in that scrapbook, leaving it for someone to find, knowing that someday somebody's going to need this. Why else would he have done it? And, you know...
Could have just misfiled it.
And it certainly quashed any rumor of it. But look at the excitement there is. How many years later? How many years are we away from 1952?
Well, the bottom line of it is it just makes us come to realization of our current situation here. Makes everybody, whoever comes across this and becomes familiar with it anyway, it should help them at least start to realize and think about our current situation with this president here, who's very enigmatic.
Oh, I look
a
way
lot
beyond.
Of unknowns.
Yes, you're very right. I agree with you, and I'm looking way beyond that, as I've already stated, and you've agreed that this is far beyond that. But the accountability for the laws that were passed and what was allowed to have occurred.
Sure, Don. But accountability is the bottom line for all our problems. That's the fundamental solution to everything here. When we can start to hold people accountable for wrong decision-making or outright treason or racketeering, then we'll finally get our country back.
Yeah.
And accountability is the key to it all. And all these laws that our Congress in the House or in the Senate have been trying to pass or have succeeded in passing that are contradicting the constitutional laws of this land, their laws are null and void. Their laws cannot even have any merit by the laws of our land that dictate that as such. And yet they pass them, and then they sell the media, you know, sells it to us like, well, the Congress Senate has just passed this law, and now it's this way and that way, and all that happy horse do. And so Don, they all have to be held accountable. That is the key to it all. That's what I want to start hearing talk about everywhere. Let's start holding these dirtbags accountable. I'm accountable for everything I do for a living, as you and every other legitimate person in this country. And yet these scoundrels aren't accountable for nothing, nothing, nothing at all. They get caught with their hands dirty and nothing's done. They make bad decisions. Well, we didn't see this economy crashing. Everything was looking good to us up till just a few weeks ago. And yet the warning signs were being blasted for a few years at least that the economy's going down. People, wake up and divest out of the stock market and save yourselves before it's too late. But the media, everything's looking good. Market's looking great. Best place to invest. Poo-poo in gold and silver. Ah, that's really, you know, a relic of the past. There's really no future in that. And all of a sudden, and property, it's going to keep going up. Best place to invest. And all of a sudden that pops and people get wiped out. And no accountability anywhere. It's pathetic. So
2 years, Michael, I've been reporting on the privatization of publicly owned lands. Okay? Mm-hmm. And making the public pay for this, mind you. Okay? This is part of what's going into these derivatives and hedge funds. And of course, they're skimming this money. They're taking real money that is being spent, tax, all the taxpayers, all the property owners are paying for the schools. They're paying for the public parks. They're paying for these conservancies. Let me tell you, I discovered something really interesting. This is going to come out big time. This is going to come out, and there's no way anybody can hide this, okay? It is closely related to the mortgage scandal and the derivatives and hedge funds as any of the other theft that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group called the Western Land Conservancy, okay? And they're going around the country buying up lands under the auspice of conservation, you know, preservation of
this is a federal activity.
Oh yeah, yeah, and yeah. It's being done on a local level. They're coming mm-hmm. into local levels with an operation that's being run out of Goldman Sachs. Okay, Henry Paulson used to run this, and his replacement is running it now, and I'm on to it big time. Okay, and I'm going to expose it, and others are exposing it too. I'm not alone in this.
Yeah, there's, I was just looking at a website, and it's an American environmental group that's exposing all of this, and they do it in a very articulate way, and I'll send the email to you so you can get it on your website, and it's great video presentation, perfectly done, very concise, brief, right to the facts, and very informative about the whole situation from beginning to end, the problems, how they're intruding upon us, taking our property rights away, and how to stop them.
You know, they're buying up the farms, for example, and they're collecting on the farm subsidies. Never growing, never having an intention to grow anything. In fact, all this stuff gets lumped into the pool, the trust pools, which are the judges and the attorneys. And it's a ring of attorneys running the scam in the area where I live, okay? They take the metro parks and the county commissioners, and, you know, their concern is what their investments are doing. They're not asking any questions about what's the status of the land, what do we need to do anything to ensure that it's not being polluted or encroached upon or whatever. No, they know exactly what's going on. They're flipping the properties, generating title insurance, escrow monies, surveying fees, attorney's fees for processing all the information, and they're taking the land out of the public domain is what they're doing, privatizing it, chopping the parcels into pieces and flipping the properties to generate more of these funds. That's what they're doing. And it's very similar to what they're doing in the housing market. Okay?
Yes, Tom.
People should be outraged.
Absolutely.
What's going on.
Sure. This is all just a major racketeering activity here. You know, and again, how about the accountability for, well, we don't have any jobs right now. Well, where'd they go? NAFTA, by any chance, have anything to do with that? Nobody held accountable? Oh, NAFTA's good for, and GATT, that's good for Americans. It's going to help generate more jobs. Oh, yeah? Where's all the people that told us that and signed those legislations? How come they're not swinging, doing an air dance right now from some tree limbs?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him doing an air dance to the tune, the Star Spangled Banner, Don.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I'm disgusted.
Yeah, and they're reporting that unemployment across the country is 10.5%. When we know it's over 30%.
Sure.
Easily.
You got it. That's right. That's right, Don. No accountability, though. Nope. Oops, how did this happen, people? Geez, the jobs just vanished into thin air.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, this whole story about auditing the Fed is another smokescreen to give them the opportunity. They're just taking the stimulus money and they're gambling with that. People aren't going to see these stimulus packages. And that is a scam in and of itself because they took the initial funds and put them in banks, offshore accounts overseas.
Well, there you have it for accountability, Don. Let's recall how they told our president and Senate and Congress that once they get those billions, they don't have to be held accountable as to what they do with it. They actually said that.
Yeah.
And our government said, okay, we'll give it to you still.
Yeah. No, the amount of treason, I mean, they're... You know, you commit treason, there's no, well, it's a big treason or a little treason.
That's right.
It's treason, you know.
Yeah, you're either pregnant or you're not.
Yeah. And they conveniently executed the Rosenbergs years ago. In fact, Eisenhower, took office when that occurred.
Right. Sure. The UN was just being birthed when Eisenhower came to office.
Yeah, he got the wrong Rosenbergs, though.
That's
the problem.
Well, that's how it always ends up. You know, it rolls downhill, as they say.
Yeah. Well, you can see I'm pretty fired up about all this stuff because it's just...
Rightfully so.
It's disgusting. It really
sure.
is. It's disgusting.
To
watch the dog and pony show that's going on in Washington...
Or let's call it a rat race, and the rats are truly winning.
Yeah. Oh man. I don't know what I mean. You see all this happening. What do you see? I'm not Mr. Doom and Gloom. I'm obviously we bring these issues up so people will look at them.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about this, Michael. You and I have done a number of shows on all of this stuff. Okay, and here we are talking about it again, and now the listening audience can really really acknowledge, you know, yeah, they're right. We are hearing about this now. You know, the vaccines. We've talked about the danger of the vaccines.
Yes,
we're not the only ones talking about
that.
No, but when you see people dying after they get the vaccines, mm-hmm. then we're
getting very ill.
There's the proof.
Exactly.
What?
And so, that's great shows like yours and everybody else out there that's just trying to get the truth out to everybody. We just need to get you guys so much more exposure so that more of the mainstream Americans, as far as mainstream in media goes, that don't know how to tune into BBS Radio or Republic Broadcasting Network or Oracle Broadcasting. They don't even know they exist. We got to get to them so they can hear what you're saying and I'm saying, everyone else is saying, so they can get their mind stimulated to start thinking again and start to accept what their eyes and ears are seeing and hearing. And this reminds me, you know, that there is an opportunity here because Jesse Ventura is breaking through apparently onto mainstream TV. I think it's going to be cable court TV station. And he's got a show coming out soon called Conspiracy, something with conspiracies, and he's going to expose...
They're calling it Conspiracy Theory. That, I think the title right there.
Okay, now,
It's either a conspiracy or it's not. It's,
okay, not, but know. Nonetheless, we're talking about somebody coming out on mainstream media with such a show, and regardless of how they call it, if he's able to bring these facts out over the air, like we are right now, as I believe Jesse will do pretty well, he's pretty sharp, he knows what's going on to a good degree from what I heard of him, and so this is a break, because he's going to access these people that unfortunately BBS isn't getting to, or these other smaller outlets that just don't have the exposure. And we need this. We need to start to hit that market where people are still in the dark ages. They don't know what they don't. They never heard real talk radio yet, you know. And so when soon as they do, their ears are going to open right up and say, "Did you hear what that guy just said? Holy smokes!" And so this is what is desperately needed to give us the impetus to turn things around before it just is too late.
Yeah. Well, you know, the people that listen to this show and other shows like this listen because they sense that they're hearing the truth. And I can tell you that those people who are harassed by officialdom over delivering these types of messages must be telling the truth that the mainstream doesn't pick it up. Yeah, the impression when it's not on the mainstream is that we're wackos, or, you know,
right?
We're nutcases. We don't know what we're talking about. Are you telling me that the thousands of people that read my articles are all nuts? That's for the listeners and the readers on my website. You know?
Of course, Don. Of course. You know, I mean, it's all obvious. We covered that, the chemtrails. I mean, hello, everybody's just look up, quit staring at the ground, and you can't deny what your eyes are about to see. And so the mainstream controlled Rockefeller media has so much expertise with dumbing us down. Because they control everything, the magazines, the commercial radio and TV stations, broadcasts. And so they just pump out, bombarding everybody with just lies, distortion, and darkness. And so that's why they're so successful. Our country's in a mess. They've been that successful at it. And thank God you're out there and everybody else is out there because, hey, I remember 20 years ago talking about the New World Order conspiracy with people, and there was really nowhere for me to go to where I could discuss it with other people that knew what was going on, like you and all these shows, because it didn't exist. But look how the Lord's bringing it all about.
Yeah.
You know, they can't kill the truth, Don, and this is the beauty of it all. In the end, the truth always manifest and lies disappear.
I opened my article with this statement. It seems that in 2009, we do not have to go far in finding the truth. The truth has its own way of finding us. Think about that. That's what's occurring. That's the one thing that they didn't count on.
Well, they did count on it. That's why the Rockefeller commie scumbags cleverly controlled the media as fast as they could, bought it all up, monopolized everything. And because, Don, they know they can't kill the truth. They can kill the messenger, but another one will come. And they can kill him, but another one will come. There's no stopping the truth from constantly manifesting itself in one way or another. And they know that for sure. They're cunning devils. They're very sinister. They know exactly how the Lord operates and how to try to stop him, nipping everything in the bud so it can't take, it can't grow, while they send out their evil shoots and branches so it entwines and entangles and establishes itself everywhere, squeezing out little source of light.
Isn't it ironic how we can see on the horizon they're succumbing to their own devices?
That's the beauty of it, isn't it? And again, brings us back to, you know, I just laugh. Go ahead, Al Gore. Tell us how hot it's getting out there. We just had the coldest summer we've ever seen around here.
Yes, yes. Yeah, now the polar ice caps are melting, and there's a reason for that. And
at the same time, major glaciers are expanding.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And these are cycles that have occurred here on the Earth.
And let's not forget, Don, we're also seeing increased earthquake and volcanic activity. Now, how the heck does pollution cause that? And it's also happening on all the planets in our solar system. Now, how the heck does man-made pollution cause that?
Exactly. Well, it's happening throughout the galaxy and the universe. You see,
it really is.
We've talked about the energy grids. And,
that's
and,
right.
And this truth, this consciousness that's coming to this planet, raising its vibration.
Yes, it is.
Is unstoppable.
And it's already proving itself by the manifestations of what we're here right now talking about it. You have an audience out there listening intently. And so there it is. There's the proof of this manifestation of this increase in consciousness. A spiritualness is coming back. Matter is no longer going to be as dense as it currently is. Light energies are on their way back here, returning back to this lower dimension, and it's been long overdue. We are going to come out of this dark age and go into a golden light age, and these devil SOBs cannot stop it. That is God's new world order, and it is coming. It would have been here 100 years ago if these dark forces didn't squash it. And Americans don't know that.
Yeah.
Not too many do, anyway.
Yeah, and for that matter, you know, many other people around the planet fit that category, too, because they've already succumbed to what they're trying to pull off here.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, I can't fault people for looking at this country with disdain, but I also stress the point that, you know, that their taskmasters and ours are one and the same.
That's right.
They're following a script.
That's right. Yeah, we're dealing with super cunning devils. And yes, again, Don, I'm ashamed as an American to know how my country was involved with enforcing the globalist New World Order agenda with a one world banking system on all the other countries using our military and intelligence, meaning CIA, covert operations, as well as our treasure, U.S. taxpayer funding it all. And now the United States is the only country left that they got to get out of the way. And so I'm ashamed and disappointed that we as Americans were blinded and never realized that we were causing all this. And at the same time, we just have to realize this is how cunning they are. They cleverly dumbed us down while simultaneously making us think we were the smartest things around. And You gotta admire that ability. That's super cunning.
But they didn't do that good of a job if we figured it out, you see.
You know, they didn't do that good of a job because you can't stop God. I mean, Don, before you and I came along, there was Edward G. Griffin and guys in his generation doing it. You had Robert Welch, who started off the J. Birch Society. And you had Norman with his conspiracy work that he did. He was Norman Dodd, I believe his name was. You know, and we can keep going back and going back. And there's always these individuals who are demonstrating smart thinking and
Springmeier comes to mind.
And many. And so I'm not definitely covering all the great people we have a debt of gratitude towards who have provided us with much information. I mean, when I learned about the Illuminati in the 70s,
yeah,
Robert Anton Wilson, that's who I came across with as I was pursuing my spiritual studies, and I kept coming across these Illuminati characters, and I realized the Lord now wants me to start inquiring more, investigating about these guys, because I couldn't avoid them at that stage of my growth with my spiritual studies. And so, yes, you can't stop God, and there's always been Americans leading the charge, getting the truth out, risking everything just to expose the truth so we could benefit from that and try to then use it to regain our sovereignty and individual freedoms here in our country before they're all gone.
Yeah. Well, one more topic before we close the show here. And this is actually somebody who's going to be appearing as a guest on one of the shows here on BBS Radio. you know, there was this rumor floating around that the long-legged Mac Daddy was going to somehow make a speech on November 27th, which I found kind of interesting because that was my birthday, and I didn't suspect that that was going to occur at all. It was just something to throw out there to keep people preoccupied so they wouldn't pay attention to all the corruption that was going on post-Fort Hood.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with quite a bit of information on Fort Hood, too. That article has been read over 25,000 times on my website.
Great.
In a very short period of time. Now, the other one that just came out 2 days ago is going to pass that. There's no doubt about it. It's done in 2 days what it took a week for the other one to do.
Beautiful. That's great. So, well, that's what you know, just need it to constantly circulate.
Yeah.
And that way it can reach more and more people. And hopefully, Don, the Idaho Observer will publish some of this for you.
I think they will. From
great.
You know, gauging from the response I got from Ingrid today, she hadn't read it till today. Mm-hmm. I said, you're behind the eight ball. Read it.
She's got her hands full.
Yeah, but she liked it, and of course, it's about getting the truth out there. Now, what can the listeners do? You know, go to my website and read it if you haven't read it, and then send the link to some people. Get people to read it. Get people to open up their eyes. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. Okay.
Of course, Don. This is a pattern.
It's their doing. You see,
it's part of a pattern.
Okay. And you add it, you know, can I remember every single fact that I've uncovered in my research? No, but when I go back and read this stuff, and I do from time to time, I'm going to do an interview on the Scherf family. People say, who's the Scherf family? Well, you know them as the Bushes, but you've got to read this article because you're going to be absolutely convinced that this is not an accident, what I found. You see? And I was determined to get to the truth. Okay? People want to know what's really going on. This is
well, there's
truth.
There's a lot to it all, Don. And, you know, I'm very careful when I draw a hard conclusion because as a good scientist, I have to be very careful. But there's so much information there that makes you think that it's very possible that could be the case, but I don't know. I'm not sure. When I look at the photograph of George Scherf Jr., I just don't see that, you know, the resemblance to the Bush that we know, old man Pappy Bush there. It's questionable to me, but the whole story and Otto Skorzeny and all that, I mean, it's intriguing, and with Tesla and the Curious George the monkey. I mean, there's a lot there that makes you say, okay, it's got to be true.
Yeah, but don't forget, we're talking about reptilians here, too. So,
well, this is where I want to be careful because I we got into all this many times.
Yeah.
And I agree that that's all real. I'm aware of it from all my spiritual studies. This is how it is. But I just want to be careful to the public in general because there's only so much information people can handle.
Well,
and no need to burden them with stuff they can't handle yet. And but it's all possible, Don. No question about it.
Again, I don't ask anyone to believe this. You know, there's a path. It's been laid out before you. You can look at it. You can examine it. You can discern for yourself. You can do some research. Some people say, well, you know, I don't have time to do those things. Okay. So because you don't have time or you choose not to look into it, doesn't nullify it, you know?
Not at all. I mean, if you don't do your homework, you can't blame anybody else but yourself for being ignorant.
Yeah. There will come a time when all these things are going to be revealed.
That's right.
They're being revealed now, okay? Some people are ready to accept that very easily. I'm not asking people to believe, so I don't expect them to blindly accept it.
Yeah, and at the same time, you have to realize that a lot of people everyone's at different levels of understanding and comprehension. And so you don't want to overload and overtax a lot of people because that'll have a negative effect. We don't want to lose anybody. We want to keep building up the army of truth and freedom. And so you have to be careful as you educate everyone not to overload them. And so when you I would just be really, you got to just be real casual as you get into the real meat and potatoes, because I'm just afraid of losing people. That's all.
I've been doing it for 2.5 years now on the radio, and it's time to take the gloves off. There's no beating around the bush with these things. We've talked about these things on many shows. So, somehow, we fall into these, and I'm not saying that you're saying this, but we say, well, this is politically correct, or this is politically incorrect.
Oh, right.
Wait a minute. Politics is corrupt. So why are you using a corrupt benchmark to evaluate everything else? I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just,
yes, I know that. And of course, I'm not even close to that. And such a phrase as politically incorrect. What does that mean? That means you can't tell the truth. Oh, we can't really say that because, that's the truth.
Yeah. Exactly. now this leads into what I wanted to bring up, and it's in this very same area, and it's about these disclosures about Mars. Okay. Now that. It appears that they've selected someone that's going to be the official mouthpiece, an attorney, member of the bar, has recollections of having been on Mars, but that doesn't mean that this individual discovered Mars. In fact, I'm older than this person, and I've known about Mars a good portion of my life. I've just known about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And getting into metaphysics and the astral realm, I know about it. And there is life up there. There is life up there, and there's a heck of a lot of building going on up there.
Listen, things are so amazing. What they keep hidden from us, the second moon of Mars, Phobos, it orbits the planet in the opposite direction that all the natural satellites orbit. Now, why is that? How did that come about? Well, it's not a natural satellite. That's what it means.
It's an artificial satellite.
And if it's not natural, well, how the heck did it get there? And who put it there? Now, when you just think about that, that's going to cause a lot of profound thinking, because who could have the ability, the power to do such a thing? And so that alone makes Mars very significant of a topic of discussion. And that will always be a future topic as we advance with our civilization, because there's something about Mars that will reveal a lot to us here about our history.
Mm-hmm. You've seen the photos I have of Iapetus on my website.
Yes, that's
a moon that has a seam that runs.
Yes, it looks like a walnut shell.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, it looks manufactured, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that seam is estimated to be, 12 miles in height?
Yeah.
I mean, who did that?
It's a good question, isn't it?
Right, it certainly is.
And we're told, there's not life on this planet here, and there's not life on that planet there, and we're
evidence,
being lied to about that as well.
Sure,
I'm not limiting it to Mars.
That's right. Yet the evidence clearly proves otherwise. There are pyramids on every planet in our solar system. Who did that?
Oh, it must have been Cleopatra.
Yep, that's right. Yep, they got around. And so obviously, reality is much different than we were led to believe. And so much grander, mysterious, magical than we were led to believe. And that's why it's so important for truth to constantly manifest and get all the messengers out there that want to share the truth with everybody, so it can stimulate thought activity. And the more stimulation of thought activity done, you know what that means? Renaissance time.
Yeah. Well, this matrix, this box that they've created of mind control and fear mongering and this phony war on terror and the false illusion of security. You know, when you consider the fact that the guy that was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 11 days into his presidency, which is totally illegal, and was nominated by Jimmy Carter of all people, and that was, I understand, determined prior to the inauguration that that was going to occur.
Yeah, I'm
is
sure.
Now sending 30,000 troops.
I was just going to say
the
that.
Name of peace. To,
the man of peace is going to escalate the world war, the upcoming World War III, if they can pull it off.
Why is it that we can't see or comprehend the insanity behind these conflicting statements or conflicting actions?
Yep, constant contradictions between what their rhetoric and their actions.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
So, you know, we hear these things and we're supposed to look at these things as actual events that are occurring out of necessity. Well, you know, whose necessity is it?
they may have planned on giving him the Nobel Peace Prize the next time around so that they could really justify it and keep building him up in stature to the world as a great leader. However, because his polls have plummeted, I think that that's another reason why they did that, because they've got to prop him up again, like, oh, no, he's great. Look, you got the Nobel Peace Prize. He's going to be great.
Oh, they've got a larger-than-life-size pictures in the schools for the kids to look at now.
Yes.
You know, this is like what Hitler did.
Hey, Don, I don't know if I ever shared this with you on your show, but right up here outside of Albany, in a school district, which is about 30 miles north of here, and a friend of mine from Hyde Park, she has a sister living up there, and her son's in that school system, and on opening school day, the whole day was about Obama. They did nothing for school that day, as it turns out. First day of school was Obama Day. That's how it really was. And then at the end of the day, the teacher gave all the kids a poster of Obama to go home and hang it on her wall.
Yes, we did talk about that in my show.
There you go.
And the one kid threw a fit when the parent said, no, you're not putting that up on
the wall. Yes, nephew to my friend threw a fit at his mom when she ripped it up. She says, you're not hanging that in this house, and she ripped it up. And he had a tantrum, the kid. That's how much control they have now over these poor kids in those government mind control centers they call public schools. And now, fortunately, the happy ending is she's homeschooling that son. She's going to deprogram him and raise him up right, which is great to hear. But there you go. And that whole day, they don't tell us that it wasn't really a school day at all. The kids had nothing to do with schoolwork that whole day. It was all Obama. Lord Obama boy.
Yes. And
Barack Hussein Obama, Don. It makes me think of mom's apple pie when I hear that name.
Mm-hmm. Now, for any teachers out there listening, I heard, I know this is going on in Washington State, I've had numerous accounts of this, that there's some schools and even colleges are making Dreams from My Father required reading. Now they're not acknowledging Bill Ayers as the author of that book.
Yeah, or it's all made up.
Now, why wouldn't they, if they want them to see the truth, why wouldn't they have them read The Three Stooges Go to Washington? Much more interesting.
You'll never get the truth in a public government brainwashing center.
You know, I'm sort of saying that tongue-in-cheek.
I know.
You know, maybe someday it will be read there.
I want to see those government public schools mind control centers being taken over by Americans again and being homeschool centers and get it off the property tax roll. If more and more parents would get their kids out of these public mind control center government schools and homeschool them, then we wouldn't need these buildings anymore. Then we could tell them, you're not making us pay a school tax on our property tax because my kids don't go to that school.
Well,
and then since we own that property, we take it back over and make it centers for homeschooling.
Yeah. they're stealing a lot of the grant monies for special programs, you know, like they have these, you know, Reading First, the No Child Left Behind. All that money is stolen.
Hey, Don.
In the millions.
You know what's really amazing? Like, you hear these people you used to see on these infomercials, government giving away thousands for this and for that. But yeah. You just need to know who to, you know, what form to fill out and who to send it to. Well, go through all that, and guess what? They won't give you a penny because it's already rigged. All that money is going to the communist globalist centers to continue expanding their communist activity, and that's only where it's going.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, they say, well, it's all in my book. You know, there's these 50 books, but I've got it all right here, all the best ones.
You call up those phone numbers, well, that number no longer works.
And the websites are down. And
yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, it's all rigged. It's all a big sham. And the U.S. taxpayer's been footing the whole bill the whole time. And we're so broke, and yet these traders in our government are still giving away billions of dollars a year to foreign countries when we're broke and the Americans need that money back in their own pockets. Now, how the heck do you account for that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, for another show, we'll get into that. Well, Michael, I want to thank you. We're out of time. I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight and let you know or let the audience know that you will be back with us Wednesday, the 16th of December.
And great, Don. Thank you.
We're going
look forward to it.
We're going to talk about some health issues on that show. And we'll try to keep it topically focused. But there's just so much going on right now. And a lot of other things that we certainly could talk about tonight, but we're out of time. So I want to thank you for being on the show. It's a great
pleasure. Show. Thank you, Don.
I get a lot of complimentary email from the listeners when you're on. So,
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
You have great following out there. So,
well, God bless all of you. Thank you.
All right. So until we meet again, I'll say goodnight. And let the audience know you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Michael Anthony. If you are looking for some herbs, I recommend go to my sponsors page, click on Michael Anthony, and you'll be amazed with some of the products he carries. And we're going to be talking about those on the 16th. In the meantime, I would like to thank those listening and helping get this broadcast out over Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. Also, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night. This real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Gosh darn, boss. We got this here radio, but we ain't got no batteries.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go into town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dag nabbit, you and your BBS radios.